So John chapter 17, we are looking at number 37 in the gospel series on what's in the gospels for us, but not to us. And keep in mind that we are looking at Jesus praying before he goes to the garden, before he gets arrested. And then he's talking about the disciples. And we have to keep that in mind greatly. So we're up to verse 14. And I would say this, that what he's saying about the disciples here in the next verses makes total sense for our Bible. Because you'll see that in a minute. So just keep that in mind as we read through this thing. Then we've got some other little blurbs and then some things after that. Who's on there, Sam? I think Moonfixer and Mark. And
White Cottons, Edders, Floyds.
Floyds. White Cottons. White Cottons. They just can't handle a little snow from the Dayton area. I mean, you know, come on. Yeah, I think he said they got 2.5 feet or something. They've got a lot of snow up there. Probably gorgeous, just gorgeous. But oh well, we're looking at verse 14, John chapter 17. Here we go. For I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Now we're going to go back and forth with world hating them. They're not of the world. He's not, Jesus himself is not of the world. And we're just kind of go back and forth. We're going to read most of them and then go back and talk about them here in a couple of minutes here. So let's do that verse again. I have given them thy word. See, there's our King James Bible today. God has given us his word, and the world hath hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Is that true? Is that to us? He's talking to the disciples. Is this actually applicable to us? I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but thou shouldst keep them from the evil. And it doesn't say from evil, it says the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, that'd be Jesus again, even so have I also sent them into the world. Is that our call as such? And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, meaning the disciples, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Now that would have to be those coming up. That would be us, but that also would include the Great Commission time as well, because that's really what was coming up next, what he's talking to about them. And I like that, believe on me through their word. Is that applicable as such? That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are. I in them, and thou in me, that's God, thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them, and hast loved me. Oh, and thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me, for I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. So now, there's a lot of possible thoughts in there that would be confusing, but not really. Because what we see there, as we see, they're hated. And it's because Jesus gave them God's word. And he's told them to go out into the world, and they will be hated, as he was hated himself. Now, is that to us? Is that something we should expect? Should we expect people to hate us because we have the King James Bible, we have his word, and the world hates us because, see, we're not part of this world, and we have to just live separate lives from this, from everything, and have this King James Bible, and the hate will automatically be there, and we might as well just go out there and do things because we know we're going to be hated. So let's just be offensive, and let's just bring on the hatred, because we have a King James Bible, and we know the truth. Da-da-da-da. See, and I know this is where a lot of this kind of thinking comes from. But if a person studies Paul long enough, I really do believe that you will see that that isn't our command. That isn't what we're called to do. We will be hated. But is all because of what we're hated? Is it because, just because you have a King James Bible, or what else? So let's go back and let's look at a few things, and then we'll just see where this thing goes to this. Let's go back to verse 17. And now keep in mind that the common modern Christianity says that they need to be part of everything out in the world, because how are they going to know about Jesus if you don't go out into the world and be out there part of them and listen to their music and dress like they do and talk like they do and go where they do and play like they do and all that kind of stuff. And here's the separation right here, verse 17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Now let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. So he told... He mentions the fact that God should sanctify, set apart is what sanctified is, to be set apart. And the disciples were set apart. They go into Acts chapter 1 through 8, and that's where they do the Great Commission. And this is where they do the signs and the healings and the tongues and the scorpion, the snakes and the poisonous stuff. So they can do that thing, and it'll all take place. You see, they're totally set apart. And they are very hated. You look through Acts chapter, I think it's chapter 5 especially, they really take some heat. And so they are very hated. And they're just going out there with the word, right? Now, if you hope you all got yourself prepared, because there's an abominable snowman that's about to walk in the back door, I think, here, if he makes it across the lawn here. An abominable snowman and his two little snow bunnies coming in the thing. So we'll just see if we get any. They made it. They walked. I think they left about 5 this morning. I saw them out there this morning. Little pink thing walking around out there. So we'll see if they make it in here. So anyway, here are the disciples going out into the world and saying what they have to say. And they're hated because of it. Now, is that our call? Is that what we're to do? What this world needs is what? King James Bible, rightly divided. So the King James Bible is hated. And they don't want to hear it. And they don't like it. But they transfer their hate, now that they've gotten rid of it, they transfer their hatred towards us, if we try to show them what that Bible says, or if we try to live the life that Paul would have us live. So I want you just to recognize how, when you read through the Gospels, that you could pull that thing out of the Gospels and make it look like we need to go out there and be hated, just like the disciples. That is not our goal. That is not our desire. It wasn't one time. I'm sorry. I figured they're going to hate us, King James Bible. I'll go out there and I'll tell them and all this kind of stuff. And I don't see that at all in Paul's teachings. You made it. Well, we're done. We're going to cancel church, and you can go back now. And if the thing is cold, it's because they complained about I had it too warm. So, you know, everybody, it was hot. So I cooled it off for you. That's okay. So when he says to sanctify them, that sanctify is a real big word. It means set apart. So those disciples were set apart from the world. And are we to be set apart from the world? That's the question here. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2. This is Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ, verse 1, through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Look at verse 30. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness, justification and redemption. That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. So see, even our glory should be a religious, a Christian glory. It should be based on the scriptures. And so yes, we're sanctified. We're set apart still. We are set apart. And look at chapter 6. I don't think we like that these days because the world has become so fun. And by the way, I'm working on a sermon between, it defines fun, it compares the word fun and enjoy. I'm itching, looking forward to doing that one here one of these days. But we have a world that is fun out there, And we read from Paul's scriptures, let alone Jesus talking about the disciples, that yes, there is a set apart that needs to take place. We are set apart from the world. However, the disciples went out and were hated. Because we're set apart, are we the ones that are going to be hated? 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11. And such were some of you, goes back to the past of our lost days, and such were some of you. But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So see, we're sanctified. Well, we know we're washed, and we know we're justified. We learned all that, but we are sanctified. We're set apart. We are to be set apart from the world. And if you look at modern Christianity, they don't believe that for a second. Just not for a second. You become legalists. You become arrogant. You become conceited. You become very judgmental in their eyes. And we're to be set apart. So how do we handle that? It was the disciples that were hated. Are we to be the ones that are hated? Do we expect this hatred? Go to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. You go to work. You have to work them with lost people. You have to work with modern Christians. You have to work with atheists. You have to work with people that are just out there to make a dollar. You have to work with horrible people, nice people, bitter people, burnt people from God, that kind of a thing, so they think they are. So how do we set apart? Colossians chapter 1, verse 12. Strengthened with all might. Verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. He's made us so we actually can be partakers, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. So we go back and look, we remember Acts 26, verse 18, we're to be set apart from the power of Satan, from darkness. So he does that. He's delivered us from the power of darkness. That means we're set apart. Does that mean we will be the ones hated then if we try to stay away from the works of the darkness, from the fruit of the works of darkness? And this is what I'm seeing this morning as I even talk about it. This is a real big issue for Christians, Bible-believing, Paul-following Christians, because see, they don't set themselves apart from the world. They just take grace and go after the world just like they do. Again, dress the same, talk the same, entertain the same, fun the same, language is the same, clothes is the same, activities are the same. They're no different. They don't have any. They have grace. They seem to skip Paul's books in Thessalonians or Timothy and Titus, which I still think is a big chunk of meat. We look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Now, if we did a study on sanctification, we will see that there's sanctification that was done from the past, in the present, and will be in the future. But we're not going to do that. We're in John chapter 17. So we're looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. It says right there, 2 Corinthians. Let's get a 2 Corinthians. Okay. That's right after 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now, when we look at that, that's probably a very unpopular subject to younger folks because they don't want to be set apart from the world. They want to play the same games. They want to play the same videos. They want to be in sports. They want to do all these things. They want to eat the same, drink the same, talk the same. Because they're in the world. And it's tough to be set apart. Quite often you have to be set apart from your friends. Sometimes you have to be set apart from your family. Maybe somebody in that family is doing some things that you shouldn't be doing, and are you going to participate in that, or are you going to step aside and stay away from it? A Christian is to be set apart. And how far do we take that? Do we become legalistic? Do we become judgmental? Do we become even conceited? Where's the grace? Well, does grace mean permissiveness? Does grace mean that, okay, we have God's grace, let's just all do this and we'll be fine and we'll hope we haven't hurt anything or hurt anybody and we'll just do this, and are we set apart? Is anybody willing to be set apart from within the kin, the country, as Jesus had to be? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. It's easier for older people to be set apart because we've been amongst it so long, we know that it's not worth it. It's painful. It hurts. It's expensive. It's wrong. Now we're ready to settle down and be old. And the young people don't want to go there yet. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we know that some of that hasn't taken place yet. That's why we have the judgment seat coming up still. Our judgment seat will be our works being judged, whether I believe, as Paul has taught them to be, that would be where the Lord would come up with his standard as such. And if we were set apart, we won't do what the world does. If we're set apart, if we're not set, that's what I said. If we're not set apart, we will do what the world does, and that's the stuff that'll burn. And young people don't figure that judgment seat's like maybe 100 years away or 1,000 years away. And then when they get up in the older years, that judgment seat really is kind of like down the road pretty close. And so you start thinking about those things. It'd be nice to have 50 years worth of good works as compared to 5, wouldn't it, when the time comes, kind of a deal? So are we willing to be set apart? Romans chapter 6. So what does it mean to be set apart? Romans chapter 6. Let's look at Romans chapter 6, verse 19. Romans chapter 6, verse 19. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members, servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity before we were saved, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end everlasting life. So see, we're set apart. We're able to do things separately now. We're able to do things differently. We're able to do things that pleases the Lord based on Romans chapter 8 as well. And then lastly, let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 again. Go back to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. And we see from Paul, now remember, Paul struggled with this all the time. So do we. But that is no excuse for us to fall away, and as we get closer and closer to the works religion, the flesh religion of the world religion with the world government, etc., we need to fight the fact that we need to be set apart from the way the world does things. Is that where we're going here this morning? Well, let's keep going. I'll show you some other things here in a minute. We'll talk about that in a moment here. Let's go down to verse 24. John chapter 17. Verse 24. So there's a little mini sermon on sanctification. We are set apart. And parents should teach your children that being set apart is what is the will of God. Now, what does that mean to be set apart? We're looking down here at verse 24. We'll get back to that in a minute. We see where he says there, Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Now, I've got a couple of verses. I just wanted to refresh your memory on those couple of verses there, because we've talked about them, I think it was even 2 weeks ago, where he talks about being around before the foundation. Well, he's the creator, in fact. Colossians 1:16, right? Ephesians 3:9, 1 Peter chapter 1. You have those written down? Let's look really quick. I think we have time. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. For by him were all things created. That would be Jesus Christ, as you go back through the verses. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. So that's one of them. Look at Ephesians chapter 3. And the purpose of this is to realize that Jesus was not a created being, which will come up in another sermon later. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 9. Paul's talking about this mystery. He says, and to make all men see, this is his ministry, to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. So in the beginning, God created, it was done by Jesus Christ, which is okay because Jesus Christ is not a created separate being. He's part of God. He's part of the Trinity, as we say. Okay, and then 1 Peter chapter 1, which is still a fact about Jesus, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. It's a comment about Jesus Christ as being manifest in Revelation 19 and at the end of tribulation. But it does say that he was foreordained before the foundation of the world, the way things took the way they did. Okay, so there's some quick comments about Jesus Christ being... And there's a reason for this, because you look back at verse 24 of John chapter 17, he says something very interesting here. He says, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Now, isn't that amazing that he would love him like that, and yet knowing that it was ordained that he had to go through the crucifixion, had to go through the pain and the torture, he had to go and actually walk the walk, which I'm sure wasn't easy, and then he had to go and take all the sin upon him. And he didn't even want to do it. He said, I would rather not do this, but I'll do it if this is your will. And so he does. And he's so concerned about everything he has to do, which I believe is the sin being put upon him, that he sweats blood. I mean, that's a tough thing. Now, what kind of love is that? And then look what he went through afterwards and the rejection he still has to this day. And why do I ask that? Because look at verse 25. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee. And the world today doesn't know God. But I have known thee, and these have known what? That thou hast sent me. And there we are back to our issue today. Is this Bible from God? Is this Bible God's Word? Is this really the Word of God? This is still the big issue here. Look at verse 26. We have to believe that this Bible was given to us by God, as it says, and within that Bible. Then he says, and I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Now, whatever this love is that God had for Jesus Christ, that's the love that we're supposed to express. And we have to think about that for a minute, because have you ever thought about that? I mean, how did God, he loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, okay, and he talks about the love he has for us and this type of a thing, if we have him as our Savior, this sort of a thing. But have you ever quietly just kind of meditated or thought about how is it that God loved Jesus, even back in the days before everything was created? What kind of love was there? And look at what he asked him to do. And look at what he did. Look what Jesus himself did, because his Father asked him to do that. And it was all right. It was all correct. It was the right thing to do, but it was hard. So what kind of love does he have for Jesus? Because that's the kind of love that we should have in us. And I'm not standing up here Mr. Lovey-Dovey, but we should learn from that verse right there. Now, let's look at a couple other things here. The general summary of John chapter 17, the last verses that we read, is the fact that the world hates the disciples. And the word disciples are not part of the world, but he's told them to go out into the world, and you will be hated, da-da-da-da. Is that our call? Does the world hate us because it's supposed to? Are we not of this world? We're separated, we're sanctified, we shouldn't be part of the world as such. There's other verses on that one. And it says there that we should be kept from evil. He said that to the disciples. God Father, keep them from the evil. Not just make them, you know, just keep them from the evil. And what are some of the things that Paul would ask us to do if something isn't right? Well, we remember the pattern. We have grace, we have mercy, we have long suffering, we have prayer, we have patience, we have tears. And then what? And I'm trying to get my list so I can remember these things. So here it is. We're supposed to mark those that are not following Paul's teachings. We're supposed to avoid. We're supposed to reject. We're supposed to be not partakers. We are to cast off. What are we to cast off? We should know that by now. We should have no fellowship with. You know what no fellowship means? No fellowshipping with them. Reprove. Rebuke. Not give heed. To withdraw from. It says, have no company with. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. This is the part that makes it difficult for us. Because we have people we care about. We have family. We have friends. And if we were to do it, give an honest appraisal of those verses, mark, avoid, reject, be not partakers, cast off, have no fellowship with, reprove, rebuke, not give heed, withdraw from, have no company with, what are we talking about here? Well, that's the thing that'll set us apart. But how do we go about doing this without being judgmental, legalistic, having no grace, causing them to stumble because of the meat of what God... Remember that Paul says we're not to cause anybody to stumble because of meat? So what we do believe and stand on can actually affect somebody else. So should we drop our standards? Should we dress differently, talk differently? Should we play like the world plays? Should we go to the places the world goes just so we aren't hated? And so we can not be set apart. But we're called to be set apart. We're sanctified to be set apart. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified. Now, what's the word of the Lord today? King James Bible. Or verses that we tell people, verses that we witness people with. Okay, so we should be praying, like he says there, that the word of the Lord may have free course. Because the disciples are going to go out, they're going to tell them, tell the world, tell the Gentiles, what the Lord said, and pray that those words have free course and are glorified. But then it says, even as it is with you. See, does the word of the Lord have free course with us? Is the word of the Lord, this King James Bible, glorified in our life? We're supposed to glorify the life of Jesus in living. We know that. Paul's talked about that. But we say here that this Bible, these words, this preaching of these words, should have free course. I mean, if I did a sermon on fun and enjoyment now, It would be like some of those old sermons where they seemed like somebody was being attacked. But wouldn't we want to consider the difference between something that's fun and enjoyment? Is there a difference? Is there even a difference? Are you just being grumpy, you know, over that kind of a thing? No, there's a difference. Other things that we've talked about over the years that have either supposedly driven people away or hurt people's feelings or whatever. That tells me, and I can be guilty too, I've been in that road, we didn't allow the word of the Lord to have free course. It wasn't glorified because we get burned or we get upset or something happens. And it says, even as it is with you. Then he says, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. So I'm seeing here this morning far more than I realized as far as scriptural application. We are set apart. We are to be set apart. We are sanctified. Not in the manner that the disciples were, because the disciples went out and what they said, they had no Bible as such, and so they were the ones that were saying it, so they were the ones that were hated. But today, we have a Bible. We're not the ones that should be hated. Now we know what Paul says. You know, the more he loved, the more abundant he loved, the less he was loved, called, and we know all that. We understand all that. We've been there. We're being there. And we know how people react to what we have to say. We know it's family problems. We know it's neighbors, it's workers, the whole thing. We know that. But I see Paul telling us that there's many, many ways that we're supposed to be set apart that many, many times we're not. We don't choose to be. And his prayer is that his word, that Bible, would have free course and be glorified out there as much as it is here, right there in us. And then he says that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. Why is that? Well, all men have not faith. And these are the things that we should be teaching our children by example as well as telling them, no, we're not going to do that. No, you can't do this. You can be sure and tell them, yes, here's what we can do, that kind of stuff. But they need to know these things. They need to learn these things. Now, let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. There was another comment that was made. Jesus was preaching there, and he was talking about where's it at here? That they may be one. He says in 22, "And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one." So I started, well, let's look at some things about being in one, as far as ourselves go. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13. I know we won't read all, I guess we can, but we know this is where he makes it one. Verse 13, "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, that's the Gentiles and the Jews, and having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain enmity thereby." And it goes on and it talks about that, that we are one. But he reminds people that it's the Jews and the Gentiles and him that are one. God has not rejected the Jews, so we're not still part of that thing. So there's a oneness there that we can claim for sure. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. But what about us? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. "And he gave some apostles and some prophets," and verse 11, "and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." And that isn't just us here. That's everybody who says they're a Christian and truly is a Christian. "Till we all come in the unity of the faith and all of the knowledge of the Son of God into a perfect man, and to this measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Henceforth be no more children," verse 15, "but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth." Our glue is ourselves even, the charity and the glue within, compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body to the edifying of itself in love. If we put together a jigsaw puzzle and put the glue in the back and skip some of the pieces, after a while, what's going to happen? Some of those pieces will fall out of that puzzle. Every one of those things has to be, they're interlocking, if it's the right kind of puzzle, they're interlocking, but even those can be picked out of there. Each one has to be glued together. So when he talks about this, when Jesus talks about this, that he and the disciples and God are one, that's a tight group. And what? Why? They're going to go out and they're going to get abused. They're going to get hated. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, this is all applicable even within our families. Now, don't forget, though, Paul still says, mark, avoid, reject, be not partakers, cast off, have no fellowship with, reprove, rebuke, not give heed, withdraw from, have no company with, if it gets to that point. See, the modern world, again, I'll say it again, the modern Christian world doesn't think that should take place. They don't think they are set apart from the world. They need to go out there and be with the world, and no matter what's going on, you're supposed to still gather and have a great time. Fun. The world wants fun. Does God want us to have fun or to enjoy? Is there a difference? I'm going back to that other sermon that's coming. It's coming pretty soon. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he says in verse 25 that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. That's tough, locally. Ephesians says, "Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another." Again, members, neighbors, In this case, in all these cases that Paul talks about, our brethren, we're members one of another. He says in Romans, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Isn't that sad when you see what's happening to Christianity today? True Christianity. The godliness part in Timothy 3:15, I think it is. 3:15, maybe 3:16. Where is the unity? It's coming apart. Well, in order for the devil to destroy true Christianity, replace it with a fake one, with a false one, with an imitation, he has to break it apart. And we've allowed that to happen. Same thing within our church family. Same thing within our families. Same thing within our kids as they grow up and have families. They'll probably have no idea how to have a family scripture. They'll base it on what they had as a family. And from what I've been reading in the last couple of days on the Facebook, very few young Christians in their 20s have anything nice to say about their upbringing as a Christian, as in their family. Very few have anything nice to say. It's really rebellious and it's really shameful. It's too bad. He says in Galatians, for brethren, we have been called unto liberty. Only use not your liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. And that's a strange way to put that verse, because here's how it starts off with, you've been called unto liberty. Okay. There's no law, so all things are lawful. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. And I'd slip in the word fun right there, compared to enjoyment. But anyway. Then he just like changes the subject, but ties it together. But by love, serve one another. That's interesting. He says in Ephesians 4, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love. But don't forget, he still says to mark, avoid, reject, be not partakers, cast off, have no fellowship with, reprove, rebuke, not give heed, withdraw from, have no company with. And it's up to the parents to take care of our young people, that they are kept away from the things they need to be kept away from, and they are put into the things that we need to be put into, that we'd be doing right. And it's really sad that the world has gotten a hold of our young people so much that they come out of that with bitterness and anger, frustration and rebellion. And it's sad that most parents have been taught the Great Commission, so they threaten their children with God's beatings and fear and all this kind of stuff, when God says, listen, it's the goodness, it's the forbearance, it's the long-suffering of God that will win people to God today through Paul's teachings. We've really gotten off track. But I guess what we're trying to do is we're trying to explain what's going on within apostasy. Is it fixable? Yeah, it's possible. But is it going to happen? It's apostasy. 1 Thessalonians 3 says this, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another, and toward all men even, all men, even as we do toward you. Then lastly he says, but as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. So that is an important aspect of Christianity, true Christianity, yes. But don't forget, and this is what we all just, it's not out there, it's not here, it's just, we have a hard time with this. We're supposed to what? Mark those that are not following Paul's teachings, avoid, reject, be not partakers, cast off, have no fellowship with, reprove, rebuke, not give heed, withdraw from, have no company with. So yes, we're going to go out in this world, but we don't have to be of this world, but we're going to be out there. And it's a tough thing. Now, one more quick thought here, time-wise, one more quick thought here. Look at the last verse we read in John chapter 17. Talked about thou hast loved me, how Father has declared unto them that the love wherewith thou, meaning God, hast loved me, meaning Jesus, may be in them and I in them. So that kind of a love should be in us. Just again, meditate on that thought for a while and think of what it is that God, how did God love Jesus? You know how he loved us, but how did he love Jesus? Look what he had Jesus do. And then lastly, look at Titus chapter 2, verse 14. Bringing us back to the initial subject of this last couple of verses is sanctification, being set apart. Titus chapter 2, verse 14. It says here, look at verse 13, I guess, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. One of the sad things right there is most young people aren't looking forward to him coming because they want to have a life. They want to get married. They want to get a job. They want to make money. They don't want to do what God would have them to do. But anyway, verse 14, who gave himself for us. Okay, why? that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. That's what should make us different in the world. We can't move to Alaska. We can't move to South Dakota to get away from everything that's going on. We can't do that. We have to be where we are, and we have to be set apart by doing the right thing, doing the good things. And hopefully our young people will realize that that's what actually pleases the Lord, but the only place you're going to get that is from Paul's teachings. And that's kind of like just the bottom line about the whole thing about where do you get your encouragement. Okay, take a break.